Brachos Daf Yudalad. We are starting on the very bottom of Brachos Yud Gimel Mid Beis. We are continuing from where we left off yesterday. The two dots. It's about seven lines from the bottom. The Amud. It begins with the words Uve Prakim. We started yesterday the second parak of Masechet Brachos. We talked more about the halachas of Shema, specifically to the interruptions that one can make when in the middle of Shema. You can be mafsik. You can interrupt in the middle of Shema, but it depends on the circumstances. Additionally, to machlokas tanaim exactly. To what degree one is allowed to make an interruption in the middle of Shema. The Mishnah yesterday introduced us to two opinions, that of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir says that there's a distinction to be made between the paragraphs and while you're be'emsa, while you're in the middle of a paragraph, with there being more latitude that you can make a hefsek when you're between the paragraphs as opposed to when you're in the middle of a paragraph. When you're between the paragraphs, so one can say hello to somebody, Mibnei HaKavod, because of honor, somebody that you're supposed to honor. So what you can do is you can now say hello to him and initiate a greeting to him because you are between the paragraphs. If you're in the middle of a paragraph, so you can't extend because of Kavod, but you are allowed to extend a hello because of Yira. Yira is fear. It means that there's somebody that you're afraid of, critically fearful of that individual. So for that person, one is allowed to make a hefsek even be'emsa, even in the middle. That's the sheet of Rav Meir. As was reported in the Mishnah, there's going to be, as we're going to start this morning, a bit of a discussion in terms of how to properly understand Rav Meir, but that's Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda has a middle step. Rav Yehuda says that if you are be'emsa, if you're in the middle of the paragraph, so shol mibnei ayira, so you can initiate a hello to somebody that you're afraid of, umeshim mibnei akavod, and you can respond to somebody, in other words, somebody doesn't know that you are in the middle of Shema, or maybe they do, but if somebody comes over to you who you are supposed to be honored, that you're supposed to honor, and he comes over and says hello to you, so you're allowed to return the honor, and that's be'emsa. So obviously, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that you could be a little bit more lenient in that he makes a distinction between initiating hello versus responding. So for initiating be'emsa, that's only for Yira, for saying hello, for initiating, that is for Yira, and for a response, that can only be done for Kavod. Uve Prakim, now between the paragraphs, so Rav Yehuda also is going to make a distinction between initiating the halo versus responding. So, Shol Mibnei HaKavod, one can initiate the halo for Kavod, and then Meshiv, in terms of what you're between the paragraphs, and now somebody came over and said hello to you, and you're now in Shema, but you're between the paragraphs, the Meshiv L'chol Adam. So you can respond to anybody. So those are the two opinions as recorded in the Mishnah, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And so our first job this morning is just simply to get a little more clarity on Rav Meir. So Verpakim Shal Vechule, the Gemara starts off, Meshiv Machmas Mai. So the wording of Rabbi Meir is slightly confusing. If you take a look back at Rav Meir says that the wording of Rav Meir is Verpakim Shal Mimnei HaKavod U'Meshiv. So between paragraphs, so you can Shoel, extend, initiate, and you can respond. Now, the reason why that language is a little bit confusing is because once you know that you can initiate, so for sure you can respond, and that's basically going to be the Gemara's point. So, Meshiv Machmas Mai, what exactly are you responding to? Elam Mimnei HaKavod, if it's because of Kavod, Hashta Mishal Shal Adur Mibaye. So, if you can initiate a halo, so for certain you can respond. Elashol Mimnei HaKavod, Meshiv Shal Mechol Adam. So, what we're suggesting now as Pshat in Rav Meir is that one can initiate because of Kavod when you are between the paragraphs. And you can respond to anybody. If somebody comes over to you and says hello, you can respond to anyone. So MSF of the Gemara says, okay, and now let's go on to the next part of Rabbi Meir. Uve'em said, now if you're in the middle of a paragraph, so you can initiate hello and you could respond. Now again, the language is a little bit confusing. Meshiv machmas mai. You're responding to whom? Elim amimnei ayira. Is it somebody that you're afraid of? Hashem hashal shal adur mibaye. Again, here comes the same question. If you can initiate a hello, so then for sure you would be able to respond. So elim amimnei akavod. So the Gemara says, so it must be that the response over here is going for a level lower, which is kavod. So now, basically, in the way that we have just suggested as Pshat and Rav Meir, that what comes out now is something which is very odd. And that is, Rav Meir basically is Rav Yehuda. So this obviously is very strange because in the Mishnah they are definitely arguing one on another. And so for now the Gemara to give such a pshat in Rav Meir, it may be nice pshat in of itself, but it can't be because then Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are basically saying the same point. So Heine de Rav Yehuda, no, the Gemara quotes the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Amar Be'emso Shol Mimnei Yer, Meshav Mimnei Kavudu, Parakim Shol Mimnei Kavudu, Meshav Shol Mechol Adam. That is exactly the sheet of Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Chusura Mechzer V'Hachi Ketani. So in the reading of the Mishnah, here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to read the Mishnah in the following manner. Be'prakim Shol Mimnei Kavudu, Be'in Tzarech Lomar Shu Meshav. So if I am between paragraphs, so I can initiate a halal because of kavod, and it goes without saying that I could respond as well. So the meshiv, as reported by Rav Meir, is a point which didn't really need to be said. If I can initiate a halal, so certainly I can respond, but ein tzarech lomar. That's the style of the Braisa. That's the style of the Mishnah. And we're going to say the same thing also of emsa. If you're in the middle of a paragraph, shol mimnei yir, ein tzarech lomar shu meshiv. And then, if you are in the middle of a paragraph and somebody comes over who you're afraid of, so you can initiate, and it goes without saying that you can also respond as well, Divrei Meir. Okay, now it comes out really, truth be told, is that the understanding of Rav Meir that we have now is really the way we understood it back in the Mishnah. The complication, the confusion only came about because we thought to make a diuk in the Mishnah, because it says both that you could be shol and meshiv, and we didn't understand, well, if I could do one, I could certainly do the other, and the Gemara tried to tease out a nuanced halacha. But the Gemara ended up coming out that, according to Rav Meir, shol, meshiv, it's going to be the same, as we reported back in the Mishnah. And then just finishing up, Rav Yehuda, Omer Bam, so shol mimnei yir, meshiv mimnei kavod. And again, the sheet of Rav Yehuda, which we already know, is that if you're in the middle of the paragraph, so you can initiate because of yir, and you can respond because of kavod. Of a prakim, now if you're between paragraphs, as we are now on the top of Yudal Amad Aleph, shol mimnei kavod, meshiv shol mechol adam. So you can initiate because of honor, and you can respond to anybody. Tanya Mehacha, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, that is going to say over exactly this pshat. Hakari Ishma, Upago Bo Rabo, O Gadol Hemenu. So if you're in the middle of Shema, and then you come across your Rebbe or somebody greater than you, Biprakim, so and you're between paragraphs, Shol Mimnei HaKavod, so you can initiate a halo, Vein Sarach Lamar Shu Meshiv, and you can for sure respond. Uve Emtza, now if you're in the middle of a paragraph, Shol Mimnei Yir, Vein Sarach Lamar Shu Meshiv, Div Rebbe Meir. So exactly what we suggested was pshat in Rav Meir, the Braisa here says a beferish, that if you're between paragraphs, so you can both initiate and respond for kavod. If you are in the middle of a paragraph, you can initiate and respond because of yira. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Be'emso Shol Mimnei Yira Mishum Mimnei HaKavod. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if in the middle of a paragraph you can initiate because of yira, you can respond because of kavod. Uveprakim, if you're between the paragraphs, shol mimnei kavod meshiv l'chol adam, you can initiate because of kavod and you can respond l'chol adam to anybody. Before we continue in the Gemara, so as far as the halacha is concerned, you can see the Tosos on the bottom of Yigimel Midbeis, where Tosos notes that, generally speaking, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda. So that means that we're going to take the more lenient approach in terms of making interruptions in the middle of your Shema. Tosos goes on, it plays out a practical halachic discussion in terms of, you're in the middle of Shema, and now Kedusha and Kaddish, and how should you respond? So Tosos puts it under the category of Mipnei Hayira, or in the very least, Tosos says it should be Mipnei HaKavod. If you take a look at the wording of Tosfos, Tosos writes, Imke Nira Shemotalanos Kaddish Kedusha Be'emtza Krishma Dein Lecha Mipnei HaKavod. It's interesting. Tosfos puts it under the category of kavod, not as I reported just moments earlier that it's yira, but it's kavod. And so therefore, one would be allowed to respond with kavod, meaning when one can interrupt in the middle of Ishma to Kaddish and Kedusha. There's more to this halacha, but certainly an interesting extension of the Gemara that we just learned together. Going back to our Gemara now on Yudal Amad Aleph, the Gemara continues, Bamine Achit Hana. The Bay Rabbi Chia, May Rabbi Chia. The following was asked from Rabbi Chia, Behalo v'Megillah Ma'u Shiafsek. So can one make a hefsek in the middle of Halal Megillah, like the hefsekim that we talked about in the middle of Shema? Amrina Kavachomer. Now, on one hand, we can make a simple Kavachomer. So Kriya Shema Doraisa, Posek Halal Derabbanan Mibaye. So Kriya Shema, which is a Din Doraisa. So there you're allowed to make a hefsek. So Halal, which is only a Din Derabbanan. So for sure you're allowed to make a hefsek. O Dilma, the Gemara says, or maybe no, Pirsumei Nisa Adif. There's another feature, there's another facet to Halal, and that is that it involves Pirsumei Nisa. Halal and Megillah. So they both have Pirsumei Nisa, you're publicizing a miracle, by saying Halal and by saying the Megillah. Interesting, the Gemara in Megillah says that the Megillah is a substitution of Halal. That's a opinion that's expressed in the Gemara in Megillah. It happens also to be on Daf Yudala Megillah, but anyway. So the additional feature to Halal and to Megillah is that it involves Pirsumei Nisa. And so therefore, Adif, so interesting how the Gemara now says that, despite the fact that it's a Din D'Rabbanan, but because of the feature of Pirsumei Nisa, so therefore, its allowance to make a Hefsek may be limited because of Pirsumei Nisa. So Amalei Posik Vein B'Kach Klum. So his answer is that you can make a hefsek. Amar Rabba Yamim Shayachi Gomer Be'Amas Alo. So Rabba says that we're going to make a distinction between two different types of halos. A halal where Yachi Gomer Behem, individuals finish the halal. So there, I'll explain better what that means in just a moment. So there, if it's a halal where Yachi is Gomer, so Bein Perek LaPerek Posik, if you're between paragraphs, so then you can make a hefsek, Bein Perek and a Posik, but if you are in the middle of a paragraph, you can't make a hefsek. V'yamim she'in ha-yachid gomer behem as a halal, but if it's days in which the individual does not finish the halal, so afilo behem tzaperek posik, so you can make an interruption, and even if you're behem tzaperek, so you can make an interruption. Good, so the Gemara brings down the halacha according to Rabba. Ini, let's just finish up the Gemara, v'ha rav bar sheva ikla legabe de Ravina. So there was an incident with Rav bar sheva and Ravina, and it happened to be Yamim She'ina Yachid Gomer Zahalo. It's a day in which the individual does not finish Halo. Right, and for now, we'll call it simply the lighter Halo. Hava Velo Pasikle, and he didn't stop for him. So Shani Rav Bar Shavah, Delo Chashav Alad De Ravina. So the Gemara says, yeah, but he didn't feel that it was a covered opportunity. And so since he didn't feel it was a covered opportunity, so therefore he didn't feel the need to stop in the middle of his Halo in order to say the Halo. Okay. So clearly now the Gemara has concluded that when it comes to halal, so you're allowed to interrupt, it depends on the halal. The halal that yachid gomer behem, so you can only interrupt between paragraphs. And if it's the halal she'ina yachid gomer, so then you can interrupt even in the middle of the paragraph as well. What is the what is exactly we're talking about? The halal which is yachid gomer and a halal which is ein ha-yachid gomer. So you take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, yamim she'yachid gomer behem is a halal. Second line down, now third line down in Rashi. Shu chova l'chol adam. We're talking about the halos which are obligatory. And Rashi takes us back to the Gemara Nirchin. The Gemara Nirchin tells us that there are, in Chutzarts, 21 days in which we are obligated to say halal. Now, there are days outside of that where it's a minhag to say halal, but there are 21 days where there's an absolute obligation. The first 2 days of Pesach, the 9 days of Sukkot, 8 days of Chanukah, are the days, in fact, which we say halal. And the 2 days of Shavuos. So that gets us to the number 21. Those are the 21 days in which one is obligated to say halal chutzar. It's in Eretz Yisrael, the number is whittled down to 18 because there's no Sfika Diyuma. But in Eretz Yisrael, as outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's 21 days where you are gomer sahala, where you finish the halal. And as a result of that, that is obviously a higher level. It's a higher requirement of halal. And so therefore, you cannot make a hefsek there where you're be'emsa perek, only between the prakim, and only for somebody who you feel that you need to extend a hello to, somebody out of kavod, and certainly out of yira. The days where it's not an absolute chova to say the halal, so it's the balance of Pesach, meaning in Chutz Aretz, it's the first day of Chol HaMoed to the end of Pesach. There is not an obligation to say halal, but it's just merely a minhag. And the same thing with Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, so there's no obligation to say halal, but rather it's just a minhag. Really interesting Tosus over here. The very long Tosus on the Samud discusses a number of very important topics. But one of the topics that he covers is, so for the halal that it's a mitzvah and it's chiyuv gomer, so obviously we're going to make a bracha on a halal. It is a mitzvah derabbanan to say halal in those days. Also, there's an aspect of persuminis, as the Gemara pointed out. So obviously, you'll make a bracha before you say that halal. Exactly what the nusach bracha is, so it's going to differ between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Ashkenazim, I'll make a bracha of lekrosa es a halal, and the Sephardim ligmor es a halal. But either way, you're going to make a bracha. What about the halal, which is just a minug? A minug to say halal on Rosh Chodesh, a minug to say halal on the balance of Pesach from Chol HaMoed onward. So on such a minug, do you make a bracha? Or to put the question in very simple terms, do you make a bracha on a minug? So this is a highly debated topic. Tosfos over here brings down a number of opinions on this matter. He quoted the Machzor Vitri. The Machzor Vitri says that you don't make a bracha on a minug. And he quotes the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. The sheet of Rabbeinu Tam is that for sure you're going to make a bracha on a minug, even though the Gemara elsewhere in Sukkah says that you do not make a bracha on a minug, but Rabbeinu Tam is mechalek. And you can see Tosfos over here for a lengthier discussion on this topic of whether or not a halal can be made on whether a bracha can be made on a minug. Additional to that, Tosfos over here discusses whether or not women who are not obligated in the mitzvah, but take upon themselves to do a mitzvah, so should they make a bracha? Another important topic that's discussed in this Tosos over here, all in the Tosos, Debra Maskel, Yamim Shayachi Gomer Be'em Esahala. We're going to go back to the Gemara. We're going to pick it up right where we left off in the first wide line. Ba'minei, Ashiyan Tana Debe Rav Ami Mir Rav Ani. Hashari Betanis Mao Shiyitam Achila Vishtiya. So if a person is shari batanis, if he's in a fast, so would it be okay for him to taste food and to taste drink? Now, to taste food and drink sounds like a funny question. It would seem like the antithesis to a fast day. A fast day means you're not going to eat and drink. And the Gemara now is entertaining the idea of, well, what about just a taste? So obviously, the Gemara cannot be understood to pshuto. If it's a fast day, so that would mean that you're not allowed to eat. You have to fast. So what the Gemara is asking over here, so we're going to clarify in just a moment, but say it's a short piece of Gemara. So first I'll go through the Gemara, and then we'll try to clarify what the Gemara is really asking. So So the Gemara says, well, it's just a te'ima, and so this doesn't really constitute eating, and maybe the Kabbalah, the acceptance of the fast day, is for eating, and this doesn't really constitute eating. It's not a significant amount. It's a small amount. And or on the other hand, maybe hana kabbalah, or maybe no. Maybe the what he accepted upon himself is hana, and any food that you taste is going to be a hana. So therefore, you're not allowed to eat it. So amrle tom ve'in bekachlam. So he says you're allowed to taste. Tanya me'achi. The Gemara quotes also a brisa. Me'ma'etes matemes inatuna bracha. That if you taste something that doesn't require a bracha, v'ashari betanis tom ve'in bekachlam. And if you're in a fast, so you could taste, and there is nothing to be concerned with that. So now, after having gone through the Gemara, it's a short piece of Gemara, but obviously it demands explanation. How can the Gemara suggest that you're allowed to taste something on a fast day? And furthermore, to exacerbate the problem, the Gemara just simply said that you don't even have to make a bracha if you're toming. Now, we're going to learn together in the sixth parak that you do have to make a bracha. So you're not allowed to have any amount of food without making a bracha rishona. So the Gemara's suggestion over here that you're allowed to taste something without making a bracha also is extraordinarily difficult. So a couple points to make over here. If you take a look at the very bottom of Tosos, so Odel Mahana Kabelai High Lish Namashma Demari Betanis Yachid Shekibol Alav. So Tosos first of all says that there is a clue in the Gemara in terms of what type of fast there is. There's what's called the Tanis Tibur. So that's a public fast where the entire community accepts upon themselves to fast. We're going to see more of that when we get to Masechta Tanis in terms of Tanis Sibur. Obviously, there are Tanis Siburs that are already instituted and on the calendar. That's for Churban Beis HaMikdash, right? Sar B'Tevis, which we just went through, Tzom Gedalia, Shiva Sar B'Tamuz. So those, and obviously Tisha B'Av as well. So those are Tanis Sibur, those are communal fasts. So Tosos says we're not talking about a Tanis Sibur over here. And the reason why I know that, says Tosos, is because the wording of the Gemara is Kabul Alel. He accepted upon himself. So in other words, it's not Tanis Fibor, you don't have to accept upon yourself, meaning that's something which obviously comes on us automatically. The Tzibor has accepted upon itself. So we're talking about a Tanis Yachid. So first of all, Tosu says now that this allowance that the Gemara is talking about is only for a Tanis Yachid, not for a Tanis Fibor. Okay. The next Tosos also helps us understand the Gemara a lot better. Because the next Tosos writes, Toim Ve'imakach Klum, Perish Rach, Shechozer Upolet. We're not talking about where you're tasting and ingesting. If you're tasting and ingesting, you can't do that on a fast day, and you're still going to have to make a bracha. Delo chashivana min hati'ima, ava bolei alau, afilu b'shataniyos, u'mishim hachi apolet, enu tzarech bracha sheinu nene. So Tosfos says, now everything gets cleared up. We're not talking about where you're tasting and eating. We're talking about where you're tasting and you're spitting it out. So why are you tasting? So you want to make sure that it's spiced well. There's enough salt, maybe too much salt, whatever the case is. So you're just tasting it to see how the food is. So for that, the allowance of the Gemara, it's really now been modified and reduced in terms of what the allowance of the Gemara is. The Gemara is only allowing just simply to taste the food, but then to spit it out. So now you understand how you're not breaking the fast by doing so because you're not ingesting. And then you also understand why there's no bracha necessary because, again, you're not ingesting. So therefore, there's no bracha necessary. That's the way Tosfos understands the Gemara. Gemara works out a lot better according to Tosfos. We did not finish the Gemara. I stopped a little bit too early. We're back to the Gemara just to finish up the sugya ad kama. So how much can you taste? Rabbi Ami v'Ravasi tami ad shir reviyasa. So it's up to a reviyas. Now again, according to the Rabbeinu Chananu, it's now a little bit strange. What is the shir that we're talking about over here? Talking about a shir of a reviyas. If you're spitting it out, what difference does it make what the shir is? Meaning, however much food you're going to put in your mouth, you're going to spit it out anyway. So admittedly, according to Rabbeinu Chananu, it's a little bit difficult to understand exactly what the shir means. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Kolanos and Shalom Chaveru Kom Shispalo. Somebody who extends hello to your friend before davening ki lo asa bama. It's as if one made a bama. A bama is it's an altar for another god. Shenemar, and the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Chidlu lechem en Adam, Asher neshama be'apo ki bameh nechshavu. Now the simple pshat of the Pasuk in Yeshayahu is bameh nechshavu. But what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to darshan. Al tikre bameh alabama. And so, when the pasuk is read, Asher neshama b'yapo, any person who has a soul, ki bama nechshav hu. By going to another person, saying hello to another person, it's considered like offering a bama, on top of a bama to another god. Ushmol amar bamecha shafta lazev v'lo laloka. So Shmuel, as Rashi explains over here, is not going to disagree. He agrees with the basic point. But what Shmuel is disagreeing to is how exactly does the drasha work? The drasha is not al tikre. It's not we're not going to change the word from bameh to bama. No, leave the word as it is. Leave it bameh. Bameh nechshavu, how can you take somebody else into consideration before you take HaKadosh Baruch Hu into consideration? You have to first say hello to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to daven. And then say hello to other people. So Rav Sheshis asks, you know, our Mishnah is a little bit strange because our Mishnah says that Beprakim, if you're between paragraphs, you can say hello to somebody. You haven't davened yet, obviously. You're only up to Shema. You're not even up to Shema Nesra yet. So Tirgama Rababa b'mashkim lepischo. So Rababa explains very simply that that to go to somebody in order to say hello to somebody, so that's what we just said. That's the bama. But if somebody comes over to you, or you happen upon somebody, Rashi writes, if you just happen to be meeting with somebody, but haphazardly and not intentionally, so then for sure, under those circumstances, so you could say hello. Amar Rav Idi, we're skipping the parentheses. Amar Rav Idi Barav and Amar Rav Yitzhak Bar Ashian. A person shouldn't take care of his own personal needs before davening. In other words, the first thing you should do in the morning is daven. So the Pasuk in Tehillim says that you should first make tzidkus. In other words, you should daven and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he be matzdik you. And then vayasam laderech pamav, and then go on your way. V'amar avidi barav and amar avitzak barishian kol amispal v'achakach yotzei laderech HaKadosh Baruch Hu osalo chafetzav. And now the Gemara takes it from the negative and just simply flips it to the positive. So if you daven and then you go on your way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu osalo chafetzav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does your bidding, meaning that you'll have a more fortuitous position now that you daven first, and then afterwards you went on your way and you took care of the thing. And again, the pasuk in Tehillim speaks to this idea that that one for sure first should take care of the davening and then afterwards go on the way. The Gemara quotes another memra. I'm not really sure at this point in time what the hamshacha is, how we continue from the previous point to this point. But anyway, the Gemara says that if you sleep for 7 days below chalom and without having a dream, so that is considered bad. Shenemar vayisva yalim bal yipaked. So the pasuk and the simplest right over saveya, if you're full yalim, so you're gonna sleep at night bal yipaked, and you won't be visited. Bal yipaked ra. I'll take race saveya el sheva. So the Gemara darshan, the Gemara says that it's not referring to someone being satiated, but rather Shevet's referring to seven. And so the Gemara's understanding is that Shiva Yamin, that for 7 days, so you're gonna be visited. But if you're not visited for 7 days, so that's ra, that's bad. Amalei Rav Acha Bereid, Rabbi Chia Baraba Hachi, Am Rabbi Chia, Am Rav Yochanan Kol Hamazbi Atzma Bin Divrei Torah Velan Ein Mevasrin Oso Besuros Raos. So a person who goes to bed at night, but before doing so, is masbia. He satiates himself with divrei Torah, so he will not be informed of any bad news. Maybe it means he won't have a bad dream, but whatever the pshat is, shenemar v'saveya alin bal yipaked ra. And again, saveya over your satiation, but satiation over here means satiation of Torah. It's a second pshat in the pasuk that we're giving. If you're satiated from Torah when you go to bed, so bal yipaked ra, you won't be visited by ra. Elohein bein aprakim. Go back to our Mishnah. Now the Mishnah, the beginning of the second paragraph, which we saw yesterday, actually outlined detailed exactly what's bein haprakim, what is between the paragraphs. And the Mishnah says between the first and second bracha, between the second bracha and the first paragraph of Shema, first paragraph of Shema to the second to the third. Now what about between the third and Emes V'Yatziv? So what we're really doing is we're moving from the third paragraph of Shema to simply another bracha. However, on this point, the Gemara brought down the Mishnah brought down a machlokas, meaning according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, so it's just simply, it's another station. In other words, you're just simply moving from the third paragraph of Shema to the bracha after Shema, and so therefore it's Bein Aprakim. Now Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says that between the third paragraph of Shema and Emes V'Yatziv, lo yafsik, you're not allowed to make an interruption. Now why are you not allowed to make an interruption? So we're going to see right now. So the Gemara starts off, Elohim ben Aprakim, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha k'Rav Yehuda. Dam Rabin, Elokeichem, Le'emes v'yativ lo yafsik. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Yochanan, then the Halacha in fact follows like Rav Yehuda, that you're not allowed to make a hefsik between the third paragraph of Shema and Emes v'yativ. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time under Rav Yehuda, what's the reason? Dechsev. So the Gemara now is going to cite a pasuk that's going to be the source for the reason. And that's based on the following. Take a look now, if we turn to the top of Yidam and Beis, Hashem Elokim Emes, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which tells us that Hashem Elokim Emes. So you see that there is a natural structure, a natural linking between mentioning of Hashem Elokeichem and Emes. And so therefore, we pattern ourselves after the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and so therefore, there should be no hefsek between the last paragraph of Shema and Emes. The Gemara now wants to know, should I repeat the word Emes two times? Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chozer V'Omer Emes, Rabbi Amar, Eino Chozer V'Omer Emes. So, Machlokas Amarim, whether or not we should be repeating the word Emes or not, meaning do we say Emes once to punctuate like the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and then the second time to start off the third Bracha of Shema, the Bracha that follows Shema. Or maybe no. Or maybe the Emes can actually serve as both. That's basically what the Gemara is asking. And the Gemara brings down a Machlokas on this matter. How would the Nachas come into Rabbah? Sham A. Rabbah da Amar Emes Emes Trei Zimne. So a person was davening in front of Rabbah. He was davening for the Amud. And he heard that the Shliach Tzibur said Emes. And he said it two times. Amar Rabbah call Emes Emes Tafsi Lahai. So he says he loves the word Emes. He got fascinated by it. But it's a sharp way of Rabbah saying he shouldn't have done it. In other words, he should have said Emes just once, as the Shita was. We saw the Shita just four lines ago in the Gemara. Eino Chozer V'Omer Emes. There's no need to repeat Emes. And so therefore Rabbah did not appreciate that the Shliach Tzibur said Emes twice. Amar Rav Yosef Kama Mal Yash Maitata. Rav Yosef says there's a halacha that I'm about to share with you. And it's really meulet. It's an exciting halacha. Dechi Asa Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Amri Ben Marava. They said the following in Eretz Yisrael. Arvis, Daber B'nei Yisrael, V'amart Aleihem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Emes. That in Eretz Yisrael, so here's what they would do. They would start the third paragraph of Shema. Daber B'nei Yisrael, V'amart Aleihem. And then they would just skip the rest of the third paragraph of Shema. And then, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Emes. And then they would just mystically pick it up at the end. The last three words of the paragraph, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, followed by Emes, and starting now the third bracha of Kriya Shema. So Amar Le Abaye Mama Yusa. So Abaye says, I don't think that's such an exciting halacha. V'amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Kol Lo Yaskel. So first of all, there's no need to start the third paragraph of Shema. Now remember, this is Mariv, and because this is Mariv, so therefore there simply is no requirement to say the third paragraph. We had a machlokas just at the end of the first paragraph, whether or not there is a mitzvah to be maskir yitzias mitzrayim b'leilos. Now there is the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Azariah that you are maskir yitzias mitzrayim b'leilos, but the chachamim don't agree. And so therefore Rav Kahana says, look, you don't even have to start the third paragraph of Shema, because really, what's in it? Tzitzis, there's no mitzvah tzitzis at night. Yitzias mitzrayim, there's no mitzvah to be maskir yitzias mitzrayim b'night. So lo yaskal v'im hizchil gomer. But if you're going to start it anyway, so then you should finish it. And don't do like they just did in Eretz Yisrael, where you start the first couple words and then you say the last couple words and you skip the whole paragraph in between. That's inappropriate. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we didn't really start the third paragraph. Meaning, look what they did in Eretz Yisrael. Go back up a couple lines in the Gemara. So Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta aleihem, ani Hashem Elokeichem. So maybe that's not enough to really consider the haskalah. That doesn't really count as we started saying the third paragraph. So the Gemara says that's not true. I said over in the name of Rab that if you start with the words Daber b'nei Yisrael, but you don't say any more than that, okay, that's not a haskalah. But if you say v'amarta aleihem have haskalah, that in fact is considered a haskalah. And so the Gemara now is saying that it really is considered a starting if you say the words Daber b'nei Yisrael with v'amarta aleihem, that's considered a haskalah. So the Gemara says, okay, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't agree. In Eretz Yisrael, so even if you say Daber B'nei Yisrael, and even if you say V'amart Aleihem, unless you get to Asulam Tzitzis, you haven't really started the third paragraph, and so therefore they didn't really feel the need to say the third paragraph. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, okay, look, in terms of Arminog, Hilkach Ana Asulam Askalina Tekam Askal B'marava. So we're going to do like they do in Eretz Yisrael, meaning that we're going to start the third paragraph. However, we disagree in terms of what's considered haskalah. The kevin aschalina mikmar nami gamrinan. Now, as far as we're concerned, so you say the words dabra b'nei Yisrael v'amart alehem, like they do in Eretz Yisrael, so they don't think it's a haskalah. We do. Since we think it's a haskalah, so now what we're going to do is we're going to finish the paragraph. We're going to say the complete third paragraph of Shema. Da'am Rav Kana Amarav lo yaskav emeschil gamar. So Rav Kana says, look, you shouldn't really start, but once you started, so then you should say the entire third paragraph, and that's, of course, what we do. And Abayi says, so it's an interesting way to arrive at this conclusion. We're going to follow the minhag of Eretz Yisrael, but once we started, so therefore we're going to say the whole thing. I and Eretz Yisrael, they didn't say the whole thing? Yeah, but we disagree in terms of what's considered haskalah. Chia barav amar ani Hashem lokechem tzarech lomar emes lo... Chia barav amar... Sorry, I'm going back. Chia barav amar amar ani Hashem lokechem tzarech lomar emes. So if you say ani Hashem lokechem, so now you have to say emes, you have to say the third bracha. But lo amar ani Hashem lokechem, enu tzarech lomar emes. But if you don't say ani Hashem lokechem, then there's no need to say emes. So the only way that you really need to start the third bracha of Shema, the bracha that immediately follows Shema, is only if you say the words Ani Hashem Elokechem, but without saying that, so there's no need to say the third bracha. V'ha bailet kuri Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Gemara over here has an interesting question. The Gemara says, yeah, but don't we have to say Yitzias Mitzrayim? And the way Rashi explains the question, you take a look at Rashi, v'ha bailet kuri Yitzias Mitzrayim, did not. Rashi goes back to the end of the first parak, where we learned over there in the Mishnah. Maskir Yitzias Mitzrayim b'leilos. V'ilo amar emes v'emuna, v'lo amar parshat tzitzis, heichem mitkar Yitzias Mitzrayim. So now, from Ariv, you took out the third paragraph of Shema. You took out the bracha of Emes. So now, what are you left with? Meaning there's literally now no mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So then, so if you're going to follow the this idea of Chiyah Barav, so then you're left with no Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, it's interesting because, as we just pointed out, the Gemara earlier pointed out that there is no obligation to say Yitzias Mitzrayim by night. Now, again, in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis, it is the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, but ostensibly that's a Shitas Yachid. So the Gemara here is a little bit confusing because the Gemara earlier seemed to suggest that there really is no compelling reason that you have to be Maskir Yitzias Mitzrayim by night because we hold like the Chachamim. And now the Gemara's question over here is, according to the way Rashi explained it, is going according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and admittedly that part's a little bit confusing. So anyway, the Gemara says, "Va'abai lekuri yitzias mitzrayim." Back to the Gemara, "Damar hafi modem anachnu lecha Hashem Elokeinu shots the son of merit mitzvah of the son of me beis avedim v'asis alan nisim ugvuros alayam v'sharnu lecha." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so what you'll do is you'll say a short nosach. In other words, in the absence of not having said the third paragraph of Shema, not saying the bracha immediately after the Shema, so you haven't done any of the nosach for yitzias mitzrayim. So the Gemara gives us a short nosach." So that we can fulfill the halacha, even according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Yeshua Mekar Chalama Kadma Parsha Shema. Tanya, the Gemara quotes another brisa that is speaking about the order of the parshiyos of Shema. So again, as we already pointed out when we saw the Mishnah in yesterday's daf, the orders of the Shema, the three paragraphs of Shema, and they're clearly not following the chronology as recorded in the Torah. The parshiyos of Shema and Vahaya are in Sefer Devarim. The parsha of Vayomer is found back in Sefer Bamidbar, so we're clearly not following it the way that it's presented in the Torah. And so therefore, what exactly is the logic behind the order of the three? So we saw the Mishnah, and the Mishnah brought down the name of the Rebbe Yeshua ben Karcha, that an argument, the reason why it is, it's presented specifically in that order. What the Gemara now is going to do is the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa in the name of Rebbe Shimon bar Yochai, that's going to be giving a different reason why the three are in the order in which they are. He agrees, of course, to the order. It's just a question of why that is. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Amar b'dinu shi'aktim Shema l'vayam Shemoa. So Shema should come before Vayam Shemoa. Why? She'zelomo v'zelamed. Because Shema focuses on learning and Vayam focuses on teaching. Vayam Shemoa l'vayomer. The Vahaya, the paragraph Vayam should come before Vayam. She'zelomo v'zelasos. The paragraph of Vahaya, paragraph number two, is on teaching. And paragraph number three is on Asiya. So the Gemara says, I'm not sure if I fully agree with every assertion that was just made. Atu Shema Lomod Ispe, Lomod Velasos Leispe. The first paragraph of Shema only has learning. It doesn't have teaching. It doesn't have action. It has all three. Vaksiv Vishinantem, Vishinantam. First of all, the first paragraph of Shema has a pasuk that has a phrase of you have to teach, and then Ukshartem, Ukstartam, and it also has that you have to wrap tefillin, and you have to write mezuzos. So question number one is that the first paragraph has learning, teaching, and action. Visu vayam shemalomod hu deispe vlasos lesbe. And your assertion that in the second paragraph, so there is teaching but there's no learning. Sorry, there's teaching but there's no action. So in the second paragraph, you have kshira, you have ksiva, you have the putting on of tefillin, you have the writing of the mezuzahs. So alahachi kamar. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Braisa of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai obviously was making a point, and we just need to understand it better. So the Gemara says here, here's the pshat. So bedinu she tekadem shmala v'ayam shemosh zelo mulame v'lasos v'haya im shemoa levayomer she zay yesh baluma v'lasos v'yomer ein ba elalasos bovad. So now the Gemara gives it to us in a very neat package. When it comes to the first paragraph of Shema, so you're hitting 3 points. The point of lomo to learn, lalame to teach, and lasos then to do action. When you get to the second paragraph, so it hits 2 points. Lomo to teach and lasos. Sorry, lalame to teach and lasos to do. And the third paragraph of Vayomer, so the only thing over there is asiyah. There's no teaching in the third paragraph. It's just that you have to make tzitzis. You have to, yeah, there's an action. But there's no mitzvah of teaching and learning in the third paragraph. Good. So now we understand the progression of the three paragraphs. The first paragraph has all 3 points covered. Second paragraph has the second 2 points covered. And the third paragraph only has the last point covered. Okay, very good. So now the Gemara says, you know, the Mishnah did the exact same thing, but gave us different reasons. So the Gemara says, what was wrong with the svaras that were given by Rav Yeshua ben Karcha? So chada ve'od kamar. So the Gemara says, that's right. Rav Yeshua ben Karcha is giving us one explanation. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the Braisa we just learned together gives us a different explanation. So one is because the first paragraph is Kabbalas Ol Machushmaim. The second paragraph is Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. And Va'od Mishum Diyisbei Hanim Mili Achrinesa. And on top of that, you can also go to the points that we made right here in our Gemara with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay? So a supplemental Braisa that gives us other reasons why the Shema is ordered specifically in the paragraphs in which it is sequenced. Gemara tells the following episode, Rav Mashiyadeh Vikar Krishma Vanach Tzilin Vatzali. So Rav had an unusual order in the morning. His Seder Hayom in the morning is that first he washed his hands, then he said Kriyashma, then he put on Tzilin, and then he damaged Shmoneh Esrei. So already, if you just think about it for a moment, you realize that's a strange order in which he's going about it. And the Gemara immediately jumps on this. V'heich Rav Nachi, how could you do that? V'atayin, you learned in the Braisa. Chofer Koch L'meis, V'kever, Patr M'Kriyashma. U'min HaTzfila, U'min HaTzfilin. If you are to dig up a grave, which is obviously a mitzvah, so now you are osik b'mitzvah, and therefore you're exempt from Kriyat Shema and from davening and from putting on tefillin and we call mitzvah some words b'torah from all other mitzvahs as well. He gives man Kriyat Shema. However, the time of Kriyat Shema is coming. So ola benota yadav. So what you should do is as follows: you should get up, you should wash your hands and meniach tefillin, put on tefillin, b'kor Kriyat Shema, and say Kriyat Shema mispalo. So and then you should daven. Now. We are a little bit confused right now because the Braisa says he's exempt and the Braisa says, oh, okay, now you're not exempt. So, and the Gemara is about to resolve that, but you can already see the problem that has occurred in that in this Braisa, the order that was very clearly stated is you wash your hands, you put on tefillin, and then you say Kriyat Shema and Daven, and that's not what Rebbe did. So obviously we're going to come back to that, but before we do so, just a point of clarification. Aguvakasha, it's difficult. So Reisha Amar Patu V'Sefer Chayav, the Reisha said that the grave digger is pater because he's osik b'mitzvah. Second part of the Braisa says that he's chayav. Which is he? Is he pater or chayav? So halakasha sefer betrayv reisha b'chad. So the Gemara says, no, if we're talking about two grave diggers where they can take shifts and turns, so then what they should do is they should each take a turn. While one is digging, the other one should get up from the grave and wash his hands and put on tefillin and say Shema Shmoneh Esrei. And then switch. That is the Braisa that's the portion of the Braisa that says you're chayev, and the portion of the Braisa that says that your patra is talking about where there's only one person over there, and he can't shift with anybody else. Mekomakom kasha l'Rav. Okay, so now that we explained the Braisa, we've resolved the Braisa, but nevertheless, it's difficult for Rav, because Rav was of the opinion that in the morning, he first washed his hands, then he said Shema, then he put on tefillin, and then he davened. So the Gemara says, Rav k'Rav Yeshua m'karchas v'rolei, d'amar ol m'chushmaim t'chila v'achakach ol mitzvos. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we could say is as follows. Maybe he was aligned with the opinion of Rav Yeshua Mekarcha. Rav Yeshua Mekarcha says, why is the Shema in the order that it's in? So the first one is Kabbalah Sol Machushamayim, and the other one is Ol Mitzvos. And so therefore, what Rav wanted to do is he wanted Mekabbalah upon himself Ol Machushamayim and Shema, and then afterwards, after saying the Ol Mitzvos, now he'll put on tefillin after Shema, because he accepted upon himself the Ol Mitzvos. The Gemara says, I don't understand. The Rav Yeshua Mekarcha has nothing to do with when you should put your tefillin on in the morning. Eimadam Rabbi Yeshua Mekarcha lahakadim kriya lekriya. Kriya La'asiya Mishamaslay. The only point Rabbi Shua Mekarcha is making is that when you're reading the paragraphs of Shema, which one should come before which? And so that, where the differences between Kabbalah Sol Machu Shemayim, which is the first paragraph, and Kabbalah Mitzvah, which is the second paragraph, is going to dictate which paragraph should come first. But that's only for Kriya. That's only for reading. But when it comes to the Asiyas HaMitzvah, doing a mitzvah, so you do the mitzvah before you put on Shema. V'sumi Safa Leik Rabbi Yeshua Mekarcha V'amar Rav Chia Bar Ashi Zimnes Again Ava Keim Nekam Ederav U'maktim Amashi Yadei U'mevarech. So many times that we were in front of Rav, so what he would do is he would wake up early, he would wash his hands, he would make a bracha. Bracha over here presumably is a reference to Birchas HaTorah. U'masne Lan Pirkin, and he would teach, he would give shir. U'manach Tfilah V'adar Kar Kriya Shema, and he would put on tefillin, and then he would say Kriya Shema. So, okay, so now we're even more confused, because over here now, as is reported, the nihug of Rav is that he first put on tefillin, and then he said Shema. Well, maybe it was too early for tefillin. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav, imke ma'isa asa adusa de Rav Chia Bar Ashi." So the Gemara says, "Well, it's true, but if that's true, so then Rav Chia Bar Ashi is giving testimony that this happened. What's the testimony? If it has no halachic implication and no halachic ramification, the entire event was circumstantial. So then, why are you testifying about it?" So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe it was circumstantial. Maybe it was, in fact, too early to put on tefillin. And maybe, so you're asking the question, what's the chiddush? Well, the chiddush is that we learned earlier, what do you make a brachos Torah on? So Adaf Yod Aleph in brachos, just a couple of days earlier. So the Gemara brought down a machlokus in terms of what exactly you should be making brachos Torah on. So there is an opinion that you only make a brachos Torah on Torah Shebechsav, but not on Torah Shebaal Peh. And so Rav obviously was teaching Torah Shebaal Peh, and he made a Birchas HaTorah, and so good. Now we have a lesson to teach and inform the rest of us, which is that even though you're doing Torah Shebaal Peh, you still have to make a Birchas HaTorah, even for Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, Mekomakom Kasha L'Rav. So the Gemara says, okay, when all is said and done, obviously this serves now as a difficulty, because in terms of what should be the proper seder in the morning. So the proper seder in the morning, according to the first report of Rav, we had him washing his hands, saying the Shema, then putting on tefillin, and then davening Shemon Esrei. And meanwhile, over here, many times, we saw Rav wash his hands, say Shir, put his tefillin on, then say the Shema, and then daven. Okay, so obviously there's a discrepancy, and the Gemara says, Mikomakom Kasha L'Rav, Shluch Ehuda Avisa. So the Gemara says, well, as far as resolving the Nihug of Rav, so over here, just basically blame the attendant, blame the attendant. Rashi writes over here, Shluchu Davisa. Rashi writes, Ashliach Kilkel. So this all was a function of the Shliach. She'ichir Lavi lo tefillin mikara. So what happened was is that his attendant didn't bring the tefillin in time. V'giyazman kriyashma v'huzkok likros k'day sh'lo yavor azman. And he was afraid of missing the zman of kriyashma. So therefore he said kriyashma. He didn't have tefillin on. Okay, but that wasn't his issue. The attendant didn't bring the tefillin. V'chi mati shluchu de tefillin anichunu. And a later point in time, when the Shliach came with the tefillin, so then he put on tefillin. We're just going to do one more piece. Amar Ula kol akor kriyashma below tefillin kiilu meidei d'sheker batzmo. You say kriyashma, you're not wearing tefillin while you're saying kriyashma in the morning. So that's eidei d'sheker. You're giving false testimony about yourself. You're being a hypocrite. You're talking about tefillin. You're talking about the significance of tefillin, and you're not wearing tefillin. Amar Bichya Barab, Amar Rav Yochanan kiilu ikur v'ola below mincha v'zevach below nesachim. It's an incomplete carbon. It's like bringing a carbon ola without a mincha. It's like bringing a shlamin without nesachim. Rashi at the bottom is bothered a little bit by the implication. What does that mean? You bring an ola without mincha. Do you mean to say there's no nesachim that comes with an ola? Rashi says, of course, there's nesachim that comes with an ola as well. Anyway, see the end of Rashi. But the basic idea is that you're saying Shema and you're mentioning tefillin, so you should be wearing tefillin. Okay. Let's recap the daf. The first topic that we covered in this daf had to do with the hefsek that one can make in the middle of Shema. Machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah. The Gemara first clarified what the machlokus is, what exactly is Shitas of Rabbi Meir. And then the Gemara didn't paskin, but Tosfos points out that normally when we have a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, so the halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda, who was slightly more lenient in terms of the amount of hefsekim that are allowed in Shema. When you're between paragraphs, so you can initiate hello for kavod, and you can respond to anybody. If you're in the middle of a paragraph, so you can initiate for Yira, and you can respond for Kavod. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Halacha, as we pointed out. Tosfos over here says it also has a Nafkamina in terms of if you're in the middle of Shema, and they're up to Kadosh and Kedusha. Tosfos says that's considered Kavod, and we do Paskin like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So that means that even in the middle of the paragraph, he could stop to answer Kaddish and Kedusha. As I pointed out, there's more halachas involved over here, but that's Tosos's development of our Gemara. The Gemara then had a question regarding whether or not you can be making a hefsek in Halal and Megillah. So on one hand, there are Dinda Rabbana. On the other hand, there's Persuminisa. And the Gemara also quoted Rava as a halacha, as a clear halacha regarding Halal. He makes a difference between a Halal which are a chayiv and the Halal which is just a minug. And we quickly pointed to the Tosos, who says that a Halal is just a minug. So machlokas are shown on whether or not you make a bracha on a Halal which is just a minug. The Gemara then brought down a series of many other halachas. I'm just going to quickly run through the various topics that were covered this morning. We talked about tasting food on a tanis. Tosa says it's tanis yachin, not tanis sibor. Tosa says tasting the food and spitting it out. We went through the halacha of extending a shalom to your friend before davening. The Gemara feels very strongly against it. The Gemara says, however, if you're pogev, if you just simply bump into somebody unexpectedly, so there you're allowed to say hello. The Gemara talked about doing any of your own personal activities before davening. You should be just the opposite. You should first daven, and then take care of any of your personal needs. The Gemara spoke about sleeping 7 nights without having a dream. The Gemara feels that that's a very bad thing. Making an interruption between the third paragraph of Shema and the beginning of Emes V'Yatzif. So are you allowed to interrupt? So it's a machlokas in the Mishnah. The Gemara says the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda that you're not allowed to interrupt. The Gemara had many details of halachas regarding the third paragraph of Shema. When I say Emes, do I repeat the Emes? The Gemara discussed how much of the third paragraph should be said. You start the third paragraph. Should I not start the third paragraph? If I start it, should I complete it? So many details in terms of how much of the third paragraph I should say. And we're talking specifically by Ma'ariv, because by Ma'ariv, there's no mitzvah tzitzis, and there is no halacha according to the Chachamim to be maskir tzias mitzrayim ba'leilos. The Gemara says our minhag is that we say the full third paragraph of Shema since we started it. So therefore, you are allowed to, you are required to conclude it, and that in fact is our minhag. And obviously, once you conclude it, so you say Emes V'Emunah as well. The Gemara brought down another brisa that they gave us supplemental reasons why it is that the order of the Shema is the order in which it's given. First, the paragraph of Shema Yisrael, then the paragraph of Ahaya, and then followed then by the paragraph of Vayomer. Why specifically in that order? So the Mishnah gave us a reason why specifically that progression from Kabbalas Omach Hashemayim to Kabbalas HaMitzvos to the third paragraph, which is the mitzvah of Tzitzis. As far as the Brisa gives a supplemental reason. The first paragraph has the mitzvah of Lumod, the mitzvah of Lelamed, and the mitzvah of Lekayim Mitzvah Satara. Second paragraph only has 2 and 3. Third paragraph only has 3. Okay, and the Gemara just simply points out that these reasons are supplementing one another. They're not arguing with one another. Rav, do you put on this tefillin before the Shema or after the Shema, between Shema and Shemoneh Esrei? So there were conflicting reports, but the Gemara says that no. In general, Rav put on his tefillin before Shema. In fact, you're not allowed to say Shema without having put your tefillin on. There was one occasion where Rav didn't put on his tefillin before Shema, but that wasn't his fault. That was his attendant who simply came in with his tefillin late.